Mark chapter 16 tonight, verse 6. Mark 16, verse 6.
Mark 16, verse 6 says this, says, "And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, for the opportunity to open your word. We ask your blessings on your word. We pray that you would guide us with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you, and that you would build your church, that we might be found faithful, Lord, for your honor and glory. Bless Northwood tonight. Bless those who are unable to be here this evening. And Lord, we ask that you bless all your churches, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "And Peter." And Peter. We're just going to look at a couple of thoughts and simply, you know, why the Lord singled out Peter here in this particular text, and then simply what the Lord said to him in the Garden of Gethsemane. But as you consider this here, here's these ladies that were here, and the angel appears to them, and he gives them this message. And then in verse 7 he says, "But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter." So he singled out Peter here, and that's what I really want to just spend a few moments to focus on. And while we're right here, in fact, let me invite you over to the Gospel of Matthew, and Matthew chapter 28. And while you're turning over to Matthew, I want to remind you that this truth here, or this event that took place, is mentioned in all the Gospels, but only the Gospel of Mark mentions "and Peter." And that's important. We'll take a look at that. That's going to be pretty much the focus tonight. But look at verse 6 here of Matthew chapter 28. And it says here, "He's not here, for he's risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." And then they say, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And so you find the same account there, but no "and Peter" in there. And so I just wanted to spend a few moments here and maybe just speculate a little bit about why the Lord singled out Peter. And I think we can get pretty close here. The Gospel of John, remember, John was the writer, or the instrument that the Lord used to write. And of course, we talk about the Spirit of God and joining with our spirit and guiding him. And remember, he writes in there when he describes himself, the Apostle John says, "the disciple whom Jesus loved." And that's how the Apostle John saw himself. He was loved by the Lord. Every disciple could have done that. Every apostle, in fact, every disciple and every disciple today can say the same as well. But I just want to just speculate a little bit here about what was taking place in the Lord's mind and how he sees his disciples. There's other disciples that had some problems, right? When you say Thomas had a problem with doubting, some others questioned the Lord concerning certain things. But I think when we consider Peter, there were some serious problems that took place in the life of Peter that probably put him, at least in Peter's mind, further apart from the Lord than any of all the other disciples. In fact, here's my speculation. Peter probably thought the Lord was finished with him, all done, and so as we consider that, let's just look a little bit before what was taking place this evening. Let's look 3 days before the resurrection. And you're right there in the Gospel of Matthew. Look at chapter 26. Back up with me just to 26, and let's look at verse 33. Matthew 26, verse 33. "And Peter said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Not that I won't be offended tonight. I will never be offended. And so here you find Peter making a bold statement. Now here's what I believe about Peter tonight, this night anyway, that we're reading about. And that is that he loved the Lord. He really did love the Lord. Do you believe that? He loved the Lord. What he did not understand was the frailty of the flesh and operating in the flesh. And that's what he was doing. And so let's look on here. Look at verse 34. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And with that, Peter came to this idea. "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I overstepped my bounds. I know that you know everything, and I trust you in that, Lord. So forgive me. I'm sorry that I said that," right? That's what the preceding verses say. No, look at verse 35. Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee," right? "Yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." So not only was he really going against the truth of what God was saying, he was a leader. And people followed him. And you know what? He championed the cause that all the disciples chimed in on and wanted to participate in. So let's just look on a little bit more here. So there's a problem right there. Then look at this in verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, 'Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder.' And he took with him," so all the disciples are there, and now he takes, in verse 37, "with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me.' And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.'" So he's praying. He's got a burden here. And he's asking his disciples to pray. And verse 40, "And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter," what? "Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I mean, you were just ready to die with me, and you're not even able to pray." Now, here's the problem. Nowhere between this point and the point where he denies the Lord three times does he ever apologize. Does he ever say, "Lord, I'm wrong, you're right"? So there's no repentance there. When he wept bitterly, I think that was the beginning of being very sorrowful. And so, again, as we consider this tonight, we find that the Lord was very merciful to him when he said, "Listen, tell my disciples and Peter too." Now, why would the Lord put that in the canon of Scripture? Because he wants you and I to know that no matter what we've ever said or done, God's arms are always open to receive us back again. We are maybe our own worst critics. We maybe are the ones that won't forgive ourselves. But that's not the heart of the Lord. So, for example, have you ever asked the Lord for forgiveness for something, and maybe a few moments later asked him again, and then maybe even the next day, and I'm sorry to say, but maybe even today for something that yesterday or a year ago, please. And I'm convinced of this. Listen, because he's God, and he says, "You know what? When I forgive you, your sins are cast into the depths of the ocean, and I don't see them anymore." And see, we don't forget, right? And I'm not saying God forgets, but when he forgives, he wipes it out. And I believe when we come up to him and we say, "Lord, forgive me," and we mention whatever it is that we've already been forgiven for, I think he's saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. Don't know what you're talking about." Or he might even say, "That's been forgiven a long time ago. I was forgiven a long time ago." What a great God we have. So when you think of the word, "Tell my disciples and Peter," you can put your name there. Because God is always calling us to come back. And so just a reminder, as we celebrate Christmas, the greatest gift, what was that greatest gift? Being forgiven, receiving eternal life, and in that eternal life, redemption, but then an open access to the throne of God that we might call upon him to help us and to encourage us in every situation and circumstance in life. And Peter, and our name can go there too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people and opening up your word for wisdom and understanding and Lord, understanding more about who you are and who you want to be in our life. Sometimes we struggle with that. And yet as we look to your word, the truth truly sets us free, realizing that you've never forsaken us and never will. And as your children, you hold us in your hand. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.